time for the Vintage Truth Podcast with best-selling author and Bible teacher, Jeff Kinley.
And it's the Vintage Truth Podcast, episode 142. That's right, 142 installments of vintage, solid, rock, deep teaching from the Word of God concerning the things that really matter. And you can go back through the archives of the Vintage Truth Podcast and pick out maybe a topic that is of particular interest to you. And, you know, they're 20 minutes long, so they're sort of a, you know, a time for a cup of coffee or sitting on the front porch or in your drive and the commute on the way to work or just to have in your headphones or have it playing on your computer or whatever. And I like to keep these succinct and short enough to where it's not taking up too much of your time. And yet it also gives you, though, a way to really get down more than just dip your toe in the truth. It really gets you into God's vintage truth. Hey, a couple of things before we finish up this little series called this Jesus, the only way to heaven. First is to tell you again about this incredible prophecy cruise we're taking in September. I highly, highly encourage you. Just check it out. It's all I ask. Go to prophecyatsea.com and you can watch videos. You can see who the speakers are and their bios. You can look at the itinerary and the costs, and you can ask questions and all kinds of things. Plus, you can get some free codes there that are going to help you as you register. You can even pay it off over monthly installments if you'd like to. It's a very, very affordable cruise. prophecyatsea.com. And secondly, I would ask you unapologetically to consider to support this ministry on a monthly basis. And you can do that by going to jeffkinley.com and clicking on the donate tab. And you can set up reoccurring monthly payments, however you want to do that. But one of the reasons I ask you to do that is because, you know, a lot of ministries are very, very huge and they bring in hundreds of thousands of dollars every year, millions of dollars. And obviously they have many expenses as well. But my ministry is not like that. I have very, very small budget, but yet very real needs. And every dollar that you give is important and makes a difference. And I get requests from churches, from countries, from churches, the church in other countries, who literally can't afford to fly someone like me across the world to come speak to them, and yet they desperately would love to. And I actually have a heart for smaller churches. I mean, I've spoken in many, many mega churches across the country, but I actually have a heart for the medium-sized church, the small church as well, that they don't have a chance to have a speaker to come to their church and to be able to partner with their pastor and that type of thing. And so I would ask you to consider, say, Jeff, hey, where do you need to fly to? I'd like to cover your ticket. Because I have some requests right now on the table that I'm unable to fulfill just simply because of financial issues. But we're trusting God for that. We run this ministry by faith. And I've done that for the past 20 years. By faith, this ministry, 20 years. And we continue to do that. We believe that's what God has called myself to and my wife to as well. So if you'd like to donate, go to jeffkinley.com and click on that donate tab and you can give whatever you'd like. And thank you so much for just being able to consider that. Okay, we've been talking about, is Jesus Christ really the only way to God? And, you know, we've been looking at several evidences for Jesus' claim. And I won't go through all of them. I've got four other podcasts you can go listen to. But just, you know, do we know really that Jesus claimed to be deity? And actually we do. We have the record of his claims. We have what other people have said about him. We have the evidence of his life and his ministry and his miracles. And of course, his resurrection, the resurrection of Jesus Christ either happened or it didn't. And if it did happen, then it changes everything in the world. And if it didn't happen, then nothing really matters. This podcast doesn't matter. Your life doesn't matter. There is no God. There is no real way to heaven. But I believe there's solid evidence for the resurrection, and we can discuss that on another podcast. But we're talking about mainly his claims, and we're going to conclude this thing on this final podcast. But I would just say a couple of final thoughts on this thing. Number one is that, you know, there's never been a person to live like Jesus Christ has lived. I mean, no person lived the kind of life of nobility and honor and character as Jesus Christ. You know, there have been religious figures throughout all of human history that have taken vows of poverty and have said nice things and have been, you know, peacenicks and been anti-war or whatever. But there's never been a person to combine the character and the deeds that Jesus Christ did. And yet he proved who he was by what he did and by the fact that he rose from the dead. And none of these other religious leaders have even come close to claiming to do or to be what Jesus Christ is. Obviously, they're smart people because they know they can't back up that claim by proving that they're actually God. You know, once a famous French philosopher was told by a friend of his, he said, "Hey, I'm going to start a religion. How do I get people to follow me?" And the philosopher simply shot back to him. He said, "Oh, it's really, really simple. All you need to do is go get yourself crucified and rise again on the third day, and you get all the followers you want." And that pretty much explains it. But finally, as we wrap this thing up, you know, we think about the character of Jesus Christ. You know, he lived the only perfect life that has ever been lived. I mean, he never sinned in word, in thought, in deed. He never did anything wrong. Growing up, he never strayed from the ideal for godly human behavior. He never had a bad attitude, never had a lustful thought, never a hateful thought. He was sinless. The Bible tells us in 1 Peter 2:22 that he was without sin. Hebrews 7:26 tells us about his sinless sacrifice. And even when someone was challenged to find a sin in Jesus, they couldn't do it. John 8:46, even his very own enemies were unable to find fault in him, Luke 23 and verses 22 and 47 said. Unlike many people today, including myself, Jesus Christ lived what he preached 100% of the time. And this sinless life was very important because only a sinless sacrifice would be sufficient for the Father. You see, when Jesus Christ went to the cross, he had to be a spotless lamb. For you see, had he had any amount of sin in his life, just one sin in his heart, had he had a sin nature like other humans do, any of those things would have automatically disqualified him from being our sin substitute. No, there had to be a spotless lamb to die, to take the place, our place, under God's wrath. And so when God the Father punished God the Son, he punished one who was sinless. He was without sin. And he lived that kind of sinful life because not only because of who he was as God, but also because he was the God-man, and he chose also to follow the Father in every aspect. So his life proves that he's God. His character proves that he's God. His death proves that he's God. I mean, how many people forgive their murderers? Luke 23:34. How many people's death shook the earth and veiled the sun? I mean, if you can arrange that at the moment of your death, Matthew 27, Luke 23 tells us that the earth, there were earthquakes and the sun itself was veiled. He actually willed himself to die. Matthew 27, 50 and John 10 also tells us that he would give up his life voluntarily for our sin. So his death, the nature of his death. And then, of course, as I mentioned, his resurrection proves that he's God, proves that he has authority over death. It proves that his resurrection validated all of his claims to deity. You see, anybody can say it, but when you back it up, you know, that gives credence to your words. And his resurrection was witnessed. His coming back from the dead was witnessed by Paul and by Peter, by the 12, by over 500 witnesses at one time. And we know that. And these were eyewitness accounts. And so the resurrection is a historical fact. And if you'd like to argue the resurrection or find reasons why you believe Jesus has not risen from the dead, then all I have to say to you is three words. Go for it. Just go for it. Do all the research you want. Come up with the hardest challenges to the resurrection. And then don't stop there. If you're going to doubt the resurrection, if you're a true skeptic, you're going to doubt the resurrection, then I dare you to doubt your doubts as well and to follow the trail of truth all the way and get your questions answered. Don't just simply spout off something to make yourself feel good. Go ahead and follow up those things with some good study, and you're going to find out that Jesus Christ is alive. His ascension is another proof of his deity. The Bible says that he ascended in Acts chapter 1. And from the Mount of Olives, in fact, the angels that were there when that happened told his disciples, they said, look, Jesus is going to come back again in the same way that he rose. And, you know, the word there that's used in Revelation 12:5, where it talks about Jesus being caught up, it's referring to his ascension. It's the exact same word that we get our word rapture from. So Christ was raptured from the Mount of Olives, and Zechariah tells us that he's going to come back to the very spot on the Mount of Olives again, and his feet are going to touch down and cause a great earthquake there. That's also provable because they found a huge fault line in the Mount of Olives, coincidentally. And then finally, just real quickly, Jesus' impact on lives. No person has influenced as many lives than anyone else in the world, in human history, than Jesus Christ. I mean, think about his impact on Peter. This is someone who was a braggart, someone who came from who went from great failure to great victory because of the resurrection. How about his impact on the Apostle Paul? He's a classic example of someone's life taking a 180 degree turn. I mean, Paul had no reason to become a follower of the way, to become a follower of Jesus Christ, and yet he met the resurrected Christ on a hunting trip. He was hunting for Christians. And Jesus literally knocked him off his high horse. You know, my mom used to say that, get off your high horse. And Paul was on a high horse, metaphorically speaking, and probably literally speaking too, he's on a high horse. But his ego was crushed by the resurrected Christ, and it crushed his heart as well. And he became an ardent follower, a committed follower of Jesus Christ, and spent the rest of his life telling other people about the good news of salvation found in Jesus Christ. And Paul later on wrote in Philippians chapter 4 that his greatest pursuit in life was just simply to know this Christ and the power of his resurrection, he says in Philippians. And by the way, that's chapter 3 in verse 10. I said chapter 4, but it's chapter 3. And so Christ, he changed Paul's life, but he impacted society as well. I mean, the overall impact and effect of Jesus Christ on individuals like Paul and Peter and me and you is ultimately, that society was changed. The whole world was changed because of Jesus Christ. Could one man really change the course of history like that and change people's hearts, turning them into genuinely authentic followers of Christ and lovers of God? I mean, the only way to change the world is to change individual hearts. That's how the early church did it. And the Bible says that in Acts 17:6, they changed the world. They turned the world upside down. And so, when you think about Jesus Christ's impact in his life, I mean, think about it. When the Pharisees needed proof Jesus had the authority to forgive sins, he went and healed the man. When the disciples needed proof that he was in control of all things, he supernaturally rebuked a storm and proved he had power over nature. When the multitudes needed proof that the one they were following was indeed the Son of God, Jesus miraculously transformed a basket of fish into a banquet feast for up to 10,000 people or more. When the world needed proof that Jesus was truly and completely God Almighty, he came back from the grave and then ascended to heaven. And you're asking, how do you know your religion is the only one who has the truth? That's the question. And we've answered it. It's Jesus. The answer is Jesus and what Jesus Christ did. Now, here's the point. A person can either accept this or they can reject this. But if you enter into this conversation from an intellectually honest posture and position, then here's what you have to do with the claims of Jesus, because Jesus undeniably claimed that he's God. Others claimed that he was God, but he undeniably did in fulfilling all the prophecies and through his life and ministry. So if you say Christ claimed to be God, you really have two choices here. I think C.S. Lewis may have originally postulated these possibilities. But here are your choices. If he claimed to be God, and if his claims were not true, think about this for a second. Jesus said, I'm God. Let's just suppose for a moment that's not true at all. You have two possibilities from that. Either A, he knew that he wasn't God, but he was still saying it. Now, what do we call that today? If you know something's not true, but you say it anyway, we call that a what? We call it a lie, right? So if and he said it over and over and over and over again throughout his entire adult ministry life. So if Christ claimed to be God and he knew that he wasn't God, then he's a pathological liar. Now, if you're a pathological liar, that's one thing. But if you tell other people to trust you for their eternal destiny, and you know that what you're telling them is a lie, then you're not just a pathological liar. You're a pure demon. You are evil from the core. That's what you are. So don't trust him. So you see, you can't just say, Jesus, oh, Jesus, you are a great man. Not if your claims were false. If your claims were false and you knew it, you're not a great man. You're the worst of all men. So instead of being someone worthy to be followed, he's the worst human to ever live if his claims were false. Now, what if his claims were false and he didn't know that they were false? Oh, so in other words, he says, I'm God, but he doesn't know that he's not God, but he's actually not God. What do we call someone like that? Well, they're not mentally stable. Okay. They're not mentally stable. One of the problems we have in our culture right now is that people are claiming to be something they're not. And we're saying, of course you are. I'll accept you for that. You're a man, but you think you're a woman. All right. Well, then you're a woman then. Then you can compete in women's athletics. See how completely messed up our world is. But when it comes to Jesus Christ, he claiming to be God, I claim to be Napoleon. You might say, well, maybe you really are reincarnated as Napoleon or something. But if you claim to be God, then and you don't know that you're not God, you're mentally unstable, you're a lunatic. What's the end result of that? Don't trust that person. Because what they're going to tell you about heaven and hell and sin and judgment and salvation and all these things, you can't trust him. Why? Because this person thinks they're God. So either if his claims are false, either he knew they were false and he's a demon, or he didn't know they were false and he's a complete lunatic. The only other choice left to us is that his claims were true. If Jesus Christ's claims were true, then he is the Messiah. He is the Savior. He is the Creator. He is Lord God Almighty. And there are two choices off of that truth. We can either reject him or we can accept him and follow him and worship him and serve him. Those are the only options open to us. And it was C.S. Lewis who said, listen, somebody who claims to be God and he's not God, and he doesn't know that he's not God, he's on the same level as a man who claims he's a poached egg, okay? That's not the kind of person you want to follow. So you don't get a chance to call Jesus a good teacher. You don't get a chance to call him a great religious figure or historical person of significance, anything like that. He didn't leave the option open to us if his claims were false. But if his claims were true, then there's a serious choice that every person must make. The problem is that most people don't think that deep enough. Most people in our world want to say, oh, well, Jesus was a good guy, man. He accepted everybody, man. He accepted prostitutes and, you know, let old Levi, the tax collector, in. Man, he's a good guy. He's against those religious people. That's who, I'm like Jesus in that way. I'm against those religious people too, you know. Well, hey, listen, Christ was either God or he's not God. You can't just say he was a good man or a good teacher or a good religious figure. He won't allow you to make that choice. And so guess what? You know what's going to happen? The Bible says in Philippians 2 that at the name of Jesus, every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that he is Lord to the glory of God the Father. You know why they're going to bow at the name of Jesus? You know why you and I are going to bow at the name of Jesus and every human who has ever lived is going to fall before him and declare that he's God? You know why? Because he is. That's why. People in hell know that Jesus is God. People in heaven know that Jesus is God. The difference is that one group rejected him and the other group accepted him. They believed upon the Lord Jesus Christ and they were saved. So what about you? Have you ever really seriously considered the claims of Jesus Christ? And hey, if you have, what have you done with those claims? Have you come to a point in your life, this intersection, where it's time to just like make a decision? I mean, you can go left, you can go right. But if you keep on going the way you're going without Christ, that road ends up in hell. But you've got to make a decision about Jesus. I hope that this little short series has helped to equip you, to give you some spiritual ammunition so that you can be equipped better to know how to defend the faith and to also strengthen your own faith. You see, Jesus Christ really is the only way to God. And he said in John 14:6, I am the way. I am the truth. I am the life. And then he said this, and not a single soul on the planet comes to the Father. That means going to heaven, except through me. Paul said there is one mediator between God and man, the man Christ Jesus. Yes, Jesus Christ is the only way. And we're going to follow up this Vintage Truth podcast with another one coming in just a few days. But hey, go check out prophecyatsea.com. If you get a chance, consider donating to our ministry, being a regular part of our team. Hey, appreciate you listening. God bless. Have a fantastic week.
Thanks for listening to the Vintage Truth podcast. Please subscribe and share with a friend. For more about Jeff's ministry, go to jeffkinley.com.